Welcome, everyone. This is the Haftorah for Vayigash, on page 1144 in the Stone Chumash. And it's a very interesting theme. We're going to talk a little bit about Hanukkah, because most of the time, this Parsha, Vayigash, falls out during Hanukkah, which it does this year, even though the Haftorah doesn't have to do with Hanukkah. But really, it has to do with another concept, and that is that in Judaism, we have two kinds of leaders. We have the leaders from Yosef and the leaders from Yehuda, or the leaders from Rachel and the leaders from Leah. That's been they're two different powers, two different sources. And we have a concept that there's going to be a Mashiach ben David from Yehuda, and there's also going to be a Mashiach ben Yosef from Rachel. And these two forces, historically, the Jewish people split up between two kingdoms. And there was a civil war between the one kingdom was led by Yeravam, who was from Yosef, and it was against the other kingdom that was led by Yehuda. And we have in the Parsha Yehuda and Yosef fighting. That was the division between they felt that he was a threat to them and they sold him. And then in this week's Parsha, they get back together. And when Jews can work together, then we have redemption. When we can figure out how to use the different forces that exist, where Yehuda and Yosef can both. Now, there is a problem, and that is you can't have two kings, so it's difficult to have two leaders. But there's an idea that if they can work together, then we would be in the best situation. So let's take a look at the Haftorah. That's the connection between the Torah reading where Yosef is brought back into the Jewish people, and then this is the historical time in the future. Now, what happened was that the 10 tribes split off from the Jewish people, and they existed as a separate kingdom. Sometimes they made war against the two tribes. Sometimes there was peace. Sometimes there was fighting. And they actually went into exile, and for the most part, they disappeared, the majority of the 10 tribes. So we need, as the Jewish people, we need that force of Yosef, and we need the, in fact, if you remember there's a famous Haftorah that we read on Rosh Hashanah about how Rachel cries for her children because they're gone. That is her descendants, Yosef, where is he? Where did he go? And Hashem says, don't worry, I'll bring him back. And so when will he come back? So over here, let's take a look at the Haftorah, and then we'll go into the Parsha a little bit. V'hi devar Hashem Eli Lemor, and the word of Hashem came to me saying, this is in the book of Yechezkel, Va'ata, and you, Ben Adam. Now, in the book of Yechezkel, he has a nickname. His nickname is Son of Adam. Very interesting nickname. Why was he always called Ben Adam? It's not really like, usually you would refer to somebody as Bnei Yisroel, or you would refer to him as Sir, or there's a message here that in Ben Adam, Adam was the first human being, and he was also the first one to mess up. And he was the handiwork of Hashem. And so referring to, Yechezkel is often referred to as Ben Adam, the son of man, the son of original man. Here he's referred to that as well. Now you, son of man, kaklecha, take, etz echad, I want you to take one piece of wood, the kasavolav. Now, sometimes prophets were told things, and other times they did a visual. They actually did, there was an action that took place in front of them. So this was an actual action. So take this piece of wood, the kasavolav liYehuda, ulivnei Yisrael chaveiro, and on one piece of wood you write Yehuda. That's the main tribe of Yehuda. Now, by the way, we are Yehuda. That's why we're called Jews, from Judah. That's us. Right on it, Judah, and there's a few other people included in Judah. You had a little bit of Binyamin, a little bit of Levi, but we're Judah. V'lachak etz echad, and take another piece of wood, v'kasav olav Yosef. And on the other piece of wood, write the name Yosef, and Yosef is represented by Ephraim, v'kol beis Yisrael, and all the other tribes that went with him. Verse 17, V'karavosam, take these two pieces of wood and bring them together, l'cha l'etz echad, instead of being two pieces, instead of being two forces that are at odds with each other, turn them into one piece. V'hayu l'achadim b'yadecha, and let them become one. That's the symbolism, that until now you've been operating like you're different people. I saw this mashal once that you never find that a person's right hand fights with his left hand because they're part of the same body. And so too, we should think about that when we're dealing with our brothers, with our fellow Jews. How do we fight with our fellow Jew? We're all part of the same body. We don't, now the right hand is different than the left hand, but it doesn't mean they don't get along. Verse 18, Kasher Yomre Lecha B'nei Amcha Lemor, and people are going to ask you, what are you doing with playing with sticks and stones over here? What you see this ancient prophet coming with two pieces of wood, and he writes Israel on this one, and he writes Yosef on this one, and he smashes, and they come together, and they become one. And they're going to say, what are you trying to tell us? Ma Elilach, what are these to you? Verse 19, Daber Eleim, and speak to them and say, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim. This is what Hashem, your God, says, Hini Ani Elokei Estetz Yosef Asher B'yad Ephraim. I'm going to take the stick of Yosef, V'shevet Yisrael Chaveiro, and I'm going to take his stick, V'nestati Osam Olav Estetz Yehuda V'sisam La'etz Echad. I'm going to take these two different forces that until now are always fighting with each other, until now are always struggling, V'hayu Echad B'yadi, and I'm going to turn them into one, in front of your eyes, they will become one. And that's a vision of what's going to take place. And when that happens, Mashiach's going to be on his way. So we're going to just pause here briefly on verse 21, and let's try to see what the difference between Yosef and Yehuda was. What do they stand for? Lam Shakol Niyev Yivro.
Amen.
So, first of all, we're going to go back to the Chumash, to Parshas Vayetze. This is on page 156. Now, I'm going to read verse 25 just to show you the Hanukkah connection, and then I'll get back to... the question really is that there's a very important concept in Judaism of there being dual leadership, that there's two kinds of leaders. There's the Yehuda leaders and there's the Yosef leaders. And throughout history, we have this struggle going on between these two kinds of leaders in our people. And when they get along together, great. And when they fight, we're in big trouble. That's always been our history. And we just heard from the prophet say that in this week's Torah portion, we find that Yehuda and Yosef come back together after a big fight. I mean, they sold Yosef as a slave. They tried to kill him. And now... Yehuda and Yosef are the two kings talking together. They bring the Jewish people back together, and we're whole as a family. And then the Haftorah describes the vision at the end of time when we come back together. So the question is, where is the conflict? Why do we have these two? What are these two forces that we need? So first I'll show you on verse 25. It says that as soon as Yosef was born, V'hi kasher yolda Rachel es Yosef, he had lots of kids. Yaakov had lots of kids. He had 12 of them. This was number 11. As soon as Yosef was born, Yaakov says to Laban, you know what? Time for me to go back. Now, normally, why is that time to go back? He just had a new baby. What was he waiting for? So Rashi over here says that once Yaakov had the force of Yosef, he knew he could handle Esav. Until then, he wasn't sure. He had Reuven, he had Shimon. Esav was a pretty tough brother to deal with. But once he had Yosef, and Rashi quotes a pasuk, it says, I don't know if you know the Rashi script on the left side here, it says, Beis Yaakov Eish, the house of Jacob is a fire, who Beis Yosef Lahava. And the house of Yosef is the flame. In other words, it's true that as a people we're a fire, but you need the flame. I don't know if that's the right word, not the flame, the, what's
spark?
The spark or the ignition or the force that starts the flame, that comes from Yosef. And until he had that power, he was afraid to tackle Esav. Now that he had Yosef, he could tackle anything. So that's and Hanukkah is about a fire and about a flame and the power of the flame and that's definitely part of the message. Now, let's talk about Yosef. Yosef is actually a little bit easier to understand what he stands for, because it's pretty clear from his name verse 24. So first of all, Rachel had wanted a child, and she even got in a fight with her husband, Yaakov. And when the Torah tells you somebody got in a fight, it must have been a pretty big fight, because it doesn't usually go into the nitty-gritty. Of course, you know, married couples have their things, but over here she tells him, give me a child or I'm like, I'm dead. And he tells her, what do you think, I'm Hashem? You know, like the Torah like gives us this whole narrative that this was a pretty big one. So she really wanted this kid. She wanted this kid more than anything. So she finally has the kid. What does she say? The child is born. So she says in verse 24, but she called his name Yosef. She says, I finally got the kid. What does she say? Now I want another one. Yosef li ben acher. Isn't that interesting? She finally gets the kid, and she says, give me another one, Hashem. Give me another son. You know,
knew there needed to be 12.
Okay.
So she may have wanted the merit of completing the Shevet. You know,
that's correct. But she's thinking about the future. She's planning for the future. Okay? That's the quality of Yosef is he's thinking ahead. She's thinking she finally gets this one. She says, okay, now I got this one. I want the next one. Give me another one. Yosef, add to me another child. Last week's Parsha, Yosef gets out of prison because they tell Paro he knows how to interpret dreams. So his ticket out of prison was that he was pretty good at interpreting dreams. But Yosef, not only does he interpret the dream, he starts to give Paro advice. He says, oh, by the way, I think I can tell you how to run your country. You know, you need to, you know, you need to save, and you need to hire a person, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. We don't always appreciate it when somebody gives us advice, you know, tells us how to do everything and how to, but Paro says, you know what? Somebody like you who gives me such good advice, you're the man. And he hires Yosef and says, that's it. Yosef is thinking for the future. He says, you know, we got to store grain away, you know, and even though now everything's going great, but in the future there'll be a famine, and we have to put away during the times of plenty, we have to put away for the future. So we have this again, that Yosef is somebody who's thinking about the future. We have that Yosef is fighting with the tribes initially when he brings a bad report. And so there's a discussion that amongst Yosef and his brothers that Yosef felt that we were going to be, we're going to stand at Har Sinai, and we have to keep the Torah, and we have to look at where we're going to be. And Yosef saw himself, he was the dreamer. He's the one who has a vision for the future. And they saw him not what he was going to be, but they saw him as he was. Right now, you're our little brother. Keep your mouth shut, you know, so to speak. In other words, like, we don't want to hear your dreams. We don't want to hear. But Yosef says, but look what I see. Look what I see in the future. Look what's going to be. And they were saying, we'll see about your dreams. We're going to make sure that's never going to happen. But what you see about Yosef is this is the power of seeing to the future, of planning ahead, of trying to do more and trying to increase. Yehuda, on the other hand, Judah, so when he was born, his mother didn't look to the future. She looked at what she had, and she said, wow, she said, I give thanks to Hashem. Look at all that I have. Look what Hashem gave me. Look, you know, I have as much as all the other wives, and I have already 4 children. Look how nice Hashem has been to me. I'll give thanks. Yehuda was focused on where he is right now, or looking at what's the word hodah means, to give thanks or to appreciate what you have. So if you have one person that's saying, well, let's think about the future, let's plan on the future, and one person that's saying, well, let's look at where we are right now, then you're going to have conflict. That's a different way of looking at things. But what you really need is a combination of the two. And so it could be, that's just one idea, but you find that we need both kinds of leaders. We need leaders that are going to say, we need to focus on the future. We need to plan, you know, we need to build the infrastructure and the education and put aside money and think about what's going to be. On the other hand, you have to look at where you are right now and see what you need, and maybe we need to give thanks, and maybe we need to fix a few things. Maybe we've done some things wrong. We need to look back. Do we need to look back, or do we need to look forward? It's that combination, if we can figure it out, then we can have the power of these two, of Yosef and Yehuda. That's an idea. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but there is definitely that pattern to the two of them. It's that balance of the two that you see. Okay, let's go back to the Haftorah on 11:45. But that's his vision, though, of being able to take two ideas, and both of them are good at the right time. Sometimes you could talk about the future, and sometimes you need to deal with where we're at now. And if you can figure out the right balance, then you got the Mashiach around the corner. So let's see here, verse 20. V'hayu eitzim, these pieces of wood, asher tiktav aleihem b'yadech aleihem, you should hold them up. V'daber aleihem, and you say the found, komar Hashem lokim, hinei anoi lokek es b'nei Yisrael mi'bein ha'goyim. He said, Hashem says, I took you from amongst the nations. You were just a slaves in amongst the nations. Asher holchisham b'kibatzi osam. And this is actually referring to the future, when the Jewish people will be scattered, which is where we are today. So Hashem says to us, you know, we're scattered amongst all the nations. And we have a tradition that the 10 tribes are scattered all around, that they're somewhere on the distant, you know, nobody knows where they are, or they're scattered. So Hashem says, I'm going to take you from the four corners of the world, where you've gone, v'kibatzti osam, and I'm going to gather you together, misaviv, v'hevesi osam, and I will bring you el admasam, to your land. Now, by the way, that's happened already today. You know, the land of Israel today has become a place where Jews from all over the world are gathering together, and that's happened in front of our eyes from Russia, from Ethiopia, from the United States, from all today, the Jews from France and the Ukraine are the big ones that are going to Israel.
But survival.
Yes, but they're coming from all over, and they're coming back just like Hashem said they would.
Menashe, are they Jews, or we don't know?
We don't know. There are a number of peoples. Some of the peoples were descended from Jews. Some of the peoples were actual Jews. And some were just people that follow the Bible. Yeah, not clear. Vasisa osam, and Hashem says, I'm going to take all of you people that are scattered around all over the world, and I'm going to make you into one nation. The people don't appreciate how hard it is to run a country in Israel with so many different people from so many different backgrounds. You can hear so many different languages spoken in Israel. You go there in a short... one of the nice parts about even just studying there as a student, as you're exposed to so many, you know, I had friends from Britain and South Africa and South America, and you go to Israel and you're all together with your people from all over the world. You feel that sense of, you know, we're one people, but everybody talks with a different accent. You know, you never know, you'll go, there'll be one person will be a Yemenite, another person will be a Russian, and you go to Israel and you see them all like United Nations, we're all together. So that's the prediction. Hashem says, I'm going to take all of these people and I'm going to turn them into one nation, Bahar Yisrael, and I'm going to do it on the mountains of Israel. U'melech echad yeh l'kulam, and they'll agree on one leader. Lamelech, v'lo yeh od l'shnei goyim, and there won't be any more of this, two Jews and three synagogue kind of things. That you know, they're going to, we're not going to be separate nations. Lo yaksa od l'shnei mamlocha, and no more of this separate kingdoms. Now, when people can't get along, that leads to all our other problems. We have a tradition: the Second Temple was destroyed because of people, causeless hatred. And when people can't get along with each other, that leads to, well, you know, the person isn't treated right, so then they go and they look elsewhere, or they do other things. So it says over here, v'lo yitama obeguleihem, and the fact that people, what happened was when they set up a separate kingdom, at first both kingdoms served Hashem, but very quickly the kingdom of Yosef started worshipping idols. They set up a golden calf, of all things. Like, who can... anybody know the reason why they set up a cow? Because Yosef's tribe, a tribal animal, was a cow, was an axe. So that was like the hero of the country, was like an axe, was the symbol of Yosef, was the symbol of the axe. So they were trying to be patriotic. That was like their state, you know, thing of Yosef, was the axe. But it turned into a golden cow, and before you know it, it turned into idol worship. So Hashem says that in the future there'll be one kingdom, and when Jews get along, we can solve our problems. When we now, in order to get along, it's not easy, because not everybody will do what you want them to do. But when people do give in order to make peace, that brings Hashem becomes happy with us. In other words, that causes, there's a certain there's a huge value to unity. It's interesting that we haven't solved this after all. You think after what we've been through that we would find a certain unity. But we shouldn't give up on it. There's the idea that that's going to come at the end of days. That's what the Mashiach's going to do. Is going to bring us together.
We need a crisis.
Okay. For lo yitama obegoleim, right?
No more
crisis. That's right.
That's what brings us together.
That's right. So, and we won't make ourselves impure with all kinds of idols, because you sell all kinds of disgusting things. Kol v'shem v'shati osam mikol moshvosecha asher chatu behem. Hashem says, I'm going to save you from all of that silly stuff, all of the different stuff that you got into. When people see that people aren't treated right or they're fighting, they don't have anything to do with it. And they run away and they go to other cultures and other things. So Hashem says that in the future, you're going to become one nation, and then nobody's going to be interested in any of these idols. And I'll save you from all that. And I will purify you from them. I will help clean you. And you'll be to me for a people. And I will be to you for Hashem. In other words, I will have a more direct connection with you in your lives. Verse 24, and the next step, Va'abdi David, my servant David, Melech Aleihem, will become king again. So there's a question, what does it mean David will be? David died, how can he be king? So there's one idea that eventually there is a concept that the dead will come back to life. We have such a concept. We don't know what it means exactly. It's a mystical concept when we talk about the dead coming back to life. There is a time that we are not physical anymore. Our bodies are limited. People are human. Humans disappear after 120 years. Their bodies go. But we have a spirit that lasts forever. And we believe that the people's spirits, they go to the same place, hopefully the good place. The good people go to the right place and will be connected again with people that have been previous generations, previous times. And there's an idea that there will be a time when there are different views about how this works, and we don't know. A lot of it has to do with prophecies, and the prophecies aren't super clear. Prophecies by nature were poetic, and they were visions. And it seems like there's a messianic time, and then there's a time after that where there'll be the dead will come back to life. And they don't necessarily, they're not this one and the same. People mix them up. Messianic time means that here in this world that we live in now, we will be part of the same world and things will exist in the same way, but we'll finally achieve unity and go back to the land of Israel and serve Hashem as one under David HaMelech, under the Mashiach who's a descendant from David. That's the messianic time. And then at some future time after that, there'll be a time when all of the people that have passed away will come back. That's the revival of the dead. And there are a few places in the Torah where it mentions that there's an idea that we're not meant to be temporary. That happened when we ate from the tree, the fact that we had to die. But there's the idea that Hashem makes each person with a unique spark, and they have a mission. And in this world, we cease doing whatever it is we're doing. There'll be some future time where we'll have this, we'll be together and with whatever we are when we pass from this world, and there'll be this revival of the dead. But it's a different stage. So some people say that this refers to David himself will actually come back and be king again at that future stage. Other people say it just means someone in the mold of David, Mashiach ben David. And we have that idea too, that every generation has like this great leader that's in the mold of King David, of the King David of our times. That could be what it means. Verse 24, but my servant David will be king. Does that mean he'll come back from being dead? Does that mean his grandson? Or does it mean someone who's a chip off the old block? But it's something like that. We do have the famous nursery rhyme that we sing, David, Melech Yisrael, Chayav, David is alive forever. In other words, the David never died. The spark, the idea that the Jewish people will never die, and that you know, things might look, you know, we have Holocausts and we have persecution and we have Iranian nuclear bombs and all kinds of threats, but that the Jewish people, the spark of King David, the hallmark of David HaMelech was that when things got very difficult or very bad, he never gave up hope, and he always came back. In other words, things always, in the end, they always worked out okay. And so that's the part of the spirit of David. V'abdi David melech aleihem, and my servant David will be the king. V'roi echad yeh lekulam, and you'll have, now our leader, it's interesting, he's like a shepherd. A shepherd is like guides his sheep. He's going to tell the people where to go. A shepherd takes care of the baby sheep. He protects them from the wolves. So our leaders are described as shepherds. You know, somehow I don't see Donald Trump as a shepherd, you know, or the politicians as a, you know, they.
The black sheep.
Right, that's right. But he says, V'david melech aleihem v'roi, and he'll be a shepherd for all of you. And he got his training as being a shepherd. In other words, just the same way he cared for the sheep, he'll care for the Jewish people. U'mishpatai aleichu, and he will follow the rules. There have been other. There are other religions that have messiahs that don't follow the rules. That was how they knew, by the way, the Shabbatai Tzvi wasn't the real McCoy, because he started cheating on the rules. Then they knew he wasn't the right one. In other words, the Mashiach is somebody who's going to follow my laws and my statute. But Chukosai Yishmeru is going to do the whole thing. Vasu Osam, verse 25. Yeshvela Arts, and you're going to live on the very same land as Shinastati Abdi LeYaakov. Getting back to Jacob, you're going to go back to the very same land, Asher Yoshua Vasekam, that your forefathers lived in. But Yoshua Allah, and you will be there, Hemu, you, Ubenehem, and your children, Ubenei Benehem, and your grandchildren, Ad Olam, forever. V'David Abdi Nasi Lehem La'olam, and David, the leadership will come back from the house of David. Verse 26, V'karati Lehem Bris Shalom, and I will make with you a covenant of peace. You'll be able to live in peace, and it'll be a bris olam. It'll be a covenant forever. We've had two temples already, and so we tried it twice. So Hashem is kind of telling us the final time it'll work. You know, it better, three strikes you're out, right? No, but we had two. The third time it's going to be a covenant forever. In other words, we were on the land the first time, and we got kicked out. We came back after 70 years, but the third time we'll be there forever. Osam nisatam verbesa osam, and I'll multiply nisati, and I will give. Now this is an interesting question. Who's going to build the third temple? So there is a group there that wants to start construction already, but it says over here that God says, I will build it. Nisati es mikdashi. I'm going to put it there. So I have this vision, you know, like it's going to be up there in heaven. You know, just imagine if all our building campaigns would work like this. We say, okay, we're ready, and it's just going to come down. You know, it's just going to come down, and there's a mosque that's going to get squashed, you know, and you know, fall down right into place, and we'll be good to go, right? That's the. The third base of Mikdash, it says Hashem is benasati. I will give my Mikdash in your midst. That's what it says. It's not going to be a man-made Beis HaMikdash. Hashem kind of describes it that I'm. Now other people feel that we kind of have to build it, and then Hashem will like come visit the empty. You know, if you build it, they will come, kind of thing. You know, they. But there is a discussion about that. You know, how far can we go? To make Israel ready for Hashem. But definitely, you see right here, Hashem says, I'm going to build the temple. Now, people sometimes build themselves a house and they don't live in it. You know, they just visit. They don't really, you know, it's like they, especially, you know, wealthy people, they have lots of houses, right? You know, so Hashem says, this place, I'm going to build it. And guess what? V'hayi mishkani aleh, I'm going to stay there. That's going to be my dwelling place. In other words, Hashem's presence is going to be found with the Jewish people. Vayisi lehem, and I'll be for you Hashem, v'hem yu l'am, and you'll be my people. Now, once that happens, then we're talking here. Verse 28, v'yadu ha'goyim, and then all the nations will know, ki ani Hashem, that I am Hashem, mekadesh es Yisrael, and I sanctify the Jewish people, because my dwelling place is in the midst of the Jewish people. I've chosen them for my presence to be there in their midst. If people want to feel the intensity of Hashem and learn about Hashem, they'll have to come to Hashem's Mikdash. And we've talked about this also, that we do have to think about the nations of the world, and that's part of Hashem's message. In other words, it's not just about us, the Jewish people, but through the Jewish people, eventually the word of Hashem will reach the other nations and the rest of the world. And that's also, almost always you'll see that in the messages of the... So we want Mashiach, but it doesn't mean that there aren't good people in the rest of the world. There are good people, but hopefully they'll learn about it, the Torah, from us. They'll learn about it when we can get along with one another, when we can get Yosef and Yehuda together and make them into one piece of wood instead of two pieces of wood, instead of two separate countries, instead of arguing, we can put those forces together of Yosef and Yehuda, then we'll have made it. Then we'll be ready for Hashem's presence, and then we'll be, the presence will stay with us, and it'll last forever. And that's the picture. That's our hope. And if we think about that, then hopefully it'll come true soon. That's really the goal of the unity of the different forces that we have. There are other ways to explain what Yosef stands for and what Yehuda stands for, what those two types of things are, what they don't necessarily fight with, but you constantly see throughout history, you have the two forces coming against each other or bumping heads, and it's not necessarily a contradiction, but we have to learn how to... sometimes you see two people that don't get along, you have to learn how to use both of them together in the service of Hashem. And so that's our hope, that we'll hopefully live to see it. God willing.